So we're continuing Canto 5, Chapter 2. Today, Text 8. This is about the activities of Maharaj Agnidra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Banam Imo Bhagavata Shatapatra Patro Shantav Apunka Virchiro Atitigmadanto Kasmai Yuyunkshasi Mane Vicharan Navidma Shemaya No Jadadiyam Tava Vikrama Astu. Bana Imo Bhagavata Shatapatra Patra Banavima Bhagavata Shatapatra Patro Banavima Bhagavata Shatapatra Patro Shantava Punka Ruchina Atitigmadanto Shantav apunka ruchirav atitig madanto. Kasmai yu yung shasi vane vicharana vidma. Kasmai yu yung shasi vane vicharana vidma. Shemayana jadadiyam tava vikramastu. Shemayana jadadiyam tava vikramastu. Banavimo bhagavata shatrapatrapatru. Shantava punka ruchirav atitigma danto. Kasmaya yungshasi vane vicharana vidma. Kshemaya no jaradiyam tava vikramastu. Bana ima bhagavata shatapatra patro shantava punka ruchiravati tigmadanto kasmaya yunkashasi imhane vicharana vidma Shemaya no jadadiyam tava vikramostu. Manavimo Bhagavata Shatrapatrapatram Shanto Punkaru Chiru Atitig Madanto Kasmai Yoyokshasi Vane Vicharan Vidhana Shimaino Jadadiyam Tava Vikramostu Shantava Punkarichiravati Teg Madantum Manavima Bhagavata Shatrapatrapatram Shantava Punka Ruchiravati Tigmadanta Kasmayu Yung Shasi Vanivicharanabidma Shrimayana Jadadiyam Tala Vikramastu. Ladies. Manavima Bhagavata Shatapatapatra Shantava Punka Vichiravati Tegmadandu Bano, two eras, ima, these, Bhagavata, of you the most powerful, Shatapatrapatra, having feathers, like the petals of a lotus flower, Shanto, peaceful, Apunka, without a shaft. An arrow has a shaft, but these arrows don't have a shaft. Needs translation.
Shaft is the stick?
Yeah, on the arrow. Ruchiro, very beautiful. Aditigmadanto, having a very sharp point. Kasmai, whom? Yu yungshasi, you want to pierce. Vane, in the forest. Vicharan, loitering. Navidma, we cannot understand. Kshemaya, for welfare. Na, of us, jadadiyam, who are dull-headed, taba, your vikrama, prowess, astu, maybe. Translation and purport. Then Agnidra opened his eyes. Oh, I'm sorry, I read the wrong. I didn't read it correctly. Then Agnidra observed the glancing eyes of Purvachiti and said, "My dear friend, you have two very powerful arrows, namely your glancing eyes. Those arrows have feathers like the petals of a lotus flower. Although they have no shafts, they are very beautiful, and they have very sharp, piercing points. They appear very peaceful, and thus it seems that they will not be shot at anyone. You must be loitering in this forest to shoot those arrows at someone, but I cannot understand whom. My intelligence is dull, and I cannot combat you. Indeed, no one can equal you in prowess. And therefore, I pray that your prowess will be good, be for my good fortune." Purport. Agnidra thus began appreciating Purvachiti's powerful glance upon him. He compared her glancing eyes to very sharp arrows. Although her eyes were as beautiful as lotuses, they were simultaneously like shaftless arrows. And Agnidra was therefore afraid of them. He hoped that her glances upon him would be favorable because he was already captivated. And the more captivated he became, the more impossible it would be for him to remain without her. Agnidra therefore prayed to Purvachiti that her glances at him would be auspicious, not futile. In other words, he prayed that she would become his wife. So the prayer, this is again compared to a prayer. Banavimo Bhagavata Satapatra Patro Shantavapunka Ruchiravati Tigmadanto Kasma Yoyongshasi Mane Vicharana Vidma Shemaya no Jarabdiyam Tavavikramustu. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deme Gurubani Pacharine Nirvase Shasunivadi Pastyatade Shtarine. So you see the word Bhagavat in the first line. Usually we refer to Krishna as Bhagavan, or sometimes Bhagavat. And it's used here to refer to the Apsara, because she has great power. She has more power than he, than the speaker, Agnidra, can combat. He's powerless in the face of her power. And where does her power reside? In her eyes. Her glance. So this is quite remarkable in one sense. It's mentioned that her eyes are like very powerful arrows, but there's no shaft. Rather, they're beautiful. The feathers are, instead of feathers, they are like lotus, the petals of lotuses. And very sharp points. Of course, the power of women's eyes is very well known. It's a $1 billion industry decorating the eyes of women. And there's something paradoxical. The eyes appear very peaceful. Yet it seems that they're like arrows that are going to be shot at someone. So he cannot understand exactly. He says his intelligence is dull. Earlier we read that he became sort of stunned like a stone upon seeing Purvachiti. His intelligence is dull, so he's not in a position to combat her. And he says, no one can equal you in prowess. So Bhagavat, she's like the most powerful. And therefore he prays, I hope that your power will be used for my good fortune. And this is a poetic way of saying, I hope that you will marry me. So this is a sort of request by the man that the woman become his wife. And we've been reading in the last couple of days the way in which he addressed her. And this continues for a total of 10 verses altogether. It's commented upon that this is flattery. He's actually flattering the woman. And the name of this kind of flattery is, in Sanskrit, Vidugdha. This is one of Krishna's names also, Vidugdha Madhava. Excuse me a minute. Are you with us? What's Krishna's name that I just mentioned? Okay, come away from the radiator. You don't want to miss this. This is a good lesson for men today. How to flatter women. This flattery is called Vidugdha, and there's a name for Krishna called Vidugdha Madhava. Means Madhava, who expert at flattering the gopis. This is the title also of a play by Srila Rupa Goswami. So we see the Sanskrit language being used here. 10 verses spoken by Agnidra flattering this woman and for the purpose of asking her to become his wife. It's not for material enjoyment. Rather, he wants a wife so that he can have a son. And he prayed for this to Lord Brahma, and Brahma has granted him the request and sent this beautiful apsara. So she's very pleased that he's so expert at speaking to her. She's attracted by his sweet words. Musical kind of language. It's like a love song. He's putting his emotions into these words. Just like in a love song, a man sings to a woman. So this is pleasant for her to hear. Shukadev Goswami later says that the intelligence of Agnidra was like that of a demigod. And the demigods are expert at flattering women. They have a long life. They can enjoy lots and lots of sense gratification, thousands of times more than on earth. So people like to go to the planets of the demigods. Here, on earth, it's a kind of universal problem that boys, when they start to mix with the opposite sex, may have some anxiety about what they're going to say to the girls. They're worried whether the girls will reject them. If I ask her to be my date for the school dance, will she reject me? So here is a solution. Young male devotees can memorize these prayers. In Srila Prabhupada was telling us about the courtship rituals in the Indian culture. Often the families of the boy and girl are involved because chaperones are usually overseeing the meetings between the boys and girls. The girl will cook something very delicious, offer it to Krishna, and then give it to the boy. And the boy's senses are satisfied in this way. The way to a man's heart is through his stomach, they say in the West. And this starts when the girl is young, and the boy is young also. This way, the sentiments of the girl, when she's looking for a boy, the sentiments of the girl are directed by the older generation. They consult different families and they consult the astrological reading. Who will be a good match? Who is a suitable partner? And in this way, the girl's sentiments are directed so that they will not be splayed out, they will not be divided among many young men. Just like Srila Prabhupada's father helped Abai by arranging a suitable girl. And he wasn't so attracted to her, he thought that she wasn't the most beautiful girl. So he said to his father, can I have also another wife who's more attractive? And his father said, no, it will not be good for your spiritual life. If you have too attractive, the girl is too attractive, then you remain attached. Similarly, my Ayurvedic doctor in Vrindavan, he told me about his marriage. The parents helped him arrange to meet a girl. But before they met, it was announced to the young men, we've found a girl for you, so we're going to arrange a meeting soon. But then the girl protested to her parents, "No, I don't want to go through with this old system. You know, now we're in the modern age. I want to meet the boy before. I should have some choice." So they sent that message to my Ayurvedic doctor's parents. And the parents responded with a message back to the girl's parents. What do you think they said? Nishringa, what do you think they said? Anybody have any idea? What would you say if you were the parents of the girl? Of the boy. If you were the parents of the boy, what would you say? The girl wants to meet your son first. Bharat? Louder?
I guess that they said that they want to do it the old way, so
Both ways.
Old way.
They want to do it the old way. Without Okay, so that's true, that's true. They did want to go to the old way, but what was the message they said? They said this. You tell this girl that we reject her. We don't want her to be the wife, because if she doesn't trust her parents to help her choose the boy, if she will not trust her parents, we don't want her as our daughter-in-law. So the girl was humbled by this, and then she finally agreed to go through with the marriage the way the parents wanted to arrange it. And they were married. The first time he saw her was at the engagement ceremony. No, quite different than Western so-called marriage in the West. So then they got married, and they moved. They lived with the boy's parents. They lived in the family's house. And the boy's parents were in charge of the money that was made. This, I'm talking about my Ayurvedic doctor and his marriage and his parents. He told me that even, you know, after they had children, the income went to his parents. They were the managers, they were the treasurers. Why? Because they had experience. They had decades of experience how to deal with money. And the inexperienced young couple should not be given full control of the income. And as a result of this, the children in the family that they had, they began to learn. Actually, the grandparents are in charge. The grandparents are in control of this joint family. Not our parents. Our parents don't have the power. So my Ayurvedic doctor was explaining all that. A little bit more about marriage we can say. Yesterday I was at lunch at a Grihastha's home. And there were two Grihastha couples there with children. And I mentioned how I had noticed while I was here in Slovenia, when I was visiting homes, how dependent the children are on their mothers. Practically, the mother doesn't have her own life. She can't move around the house or move around the temple without one of the kids or both of the kids or, you know, very, very close. They have to have her with them. So it's like she's a three-person body. She's not just her own body. She's her body plus the bodies of the children. So three bodies, kind of, or two bodies. And the Grihastha said to me, "Yes, this son of mine, he wants to constantly be with his mother, even if he doesn't see her for 2 hours, he becomes unhappy." And he told me that he prefers his mother to me. He just says, I like her more than you. So at this age, the children are very attached to the mother. So he said, how will it work out in non-traditional marriages? Suppose that there's a gay marriage and there's two fathers and no mother. How will the children feel having no mother? Therefore, the Pope Francis sent a message to the Slovenian people a couple of weeks ago that I hope you will uphold the traditional family. And then on December 20th, when this vote took place, should we legalize gay marriage? Enough people voted no, so that it's not going to happen right away. So this is part of the Dharma in the West. You could say Christian Dharma or Western religious Dharma, Jewish Dharma, that marriage should be a certain way. But of course it's all becoming bent out of shape. It's becoming unrecognizable. In England, the king invented divorce. Henry VIII, I think. Divorce and remarriage. So this is common now. And then there's contraception and abortion, which is very common now. So even though the official religious dogma may be that if you're following Catholicism, you cannot use contraception, people don't follow. And the political leaders don't follow. So they're criticized by the very strict traditional religionists that our political leaders don't follow the religion. They claim to be Catholic, but they don't follow what the church teaches. So they're criticized. So this is, we can talk about this in relation to Krishna's message in Bhagavad Gita. He says he comes to uphold Dharma when it becomes irreligious, when people become irreligious. And the Bhagavad Gita tells us that people who don't follow Shastra, who are irreligious, they have a certain destination. Just like the Catholic Church will say, you know, there's a destination. If you don't follow a religious life, there's hellish punishment. So this is actually part of Christmas, you could say, when God or God's son or God's representative appears in the world. It's very nice and sweet because he's in a baby's body, and the predominant rasa is motherhood, mother and baby. But ultimately, a religious person like Jesus or the Acharyas or Krishna will stand up for Dharma and defeat Adharma. So these are some of the aspects of what's going on here in the verses that we're talking about. Man meets woman, woman meets man, children, the Dharma of the family. Any questions? Tell her we don't want her. That was the message. My Ayurvedic doctor's parents sent that message to the girl. Tell her we don't want her. So now we're in the West, we're starting to follow these standards of India. And you don't have any questions about it. Yes.
We're so learned this should be. I mean, our parents are not like that. I mean, we're not born in such a. We speak to our seniors then, or you know, how do we get married? And how are we supposed to do that? Again, the question is kind of procedure.
Srila Prabhupada said that in the Bhagavatam there's a verse that says, don't become a parent, don't become a husband, don't become a wife unless you can deliver your dependents. You have to be able to bring your dependence back to Godhead. And he said, if you can't do that, then you're an illicit parent. Just like there's illicit sex, he said. Don't be an illicit parent. So, parents have anxieties about their children, not just us. I remember talking to my mother's next door neighbor, a nice woman, and we were talking about taking up spiritual life. I was at that stage where I was thinking of becoming more serious about spiritual life. I was discussing this with her, and I said, what about your sons? And she said, well, we've done, you know, what we can. We raised them in our Catholic religion. And of course they have to decide for themselves, you know, life presents different lessons to people and they maybe will learn from life that it's important to turn to God. So many parents in ISKCON have, hope that their children will come out ahead spiritually, but at some point the children have their own lives, and of course the parents also want to give them the independence that an individual should have. There should be some individual choice. The individual has to make a commitment, himself or herself. So regarding getting married, you were asking about your parents and getting married. Often devotees have two marriages. They have a civil marriage in suits and ties and wedding dresses and kind of a Western style wedding, and invite the relatives. And then they also have later a Vedic wedding. So it's done in two ways, so that both traditions can be implemented in favor of the couple, in the couple's favor. It'll come out in the couple's favor, they hope, if all parties are satisfied. We have to, I guess, recognize that without the benefit of understanding the goal of life, our Western parents aren't too helpful to us if we want to get married. They may not understand marriage in the same way that Srila Prabhupada teaches about it. So in that case, Srila Prabhupada would sometimes advise his disciples not to pay too much attention to your parents, because you've had parents in every birth. You've had many hundreds, thousands, even millions of births, and in all those births you had some parents. But now you have this human life and you have a spiritual master, so you should focus on the spiritual side of life and not be concerned with the Grihamedi life that passes for marriage. Grihamedi means just absorbed in increasing the sense gratification that one can obtain in home. Acquiring more and more good things in life. And then, I mean, you know, different religions, Jewish, I can't speak for all the religions, but there's Judaism, Islam, Christianity. They all have some conception, perhaps, of the afterlife or what will happen after death, but it's vague. And sometimes they hope that regardless of what they do, someone will step in and save them from all the bad reactions to their activities. Jesus will save us at the end somehow. Prabhupada didn't think that was a very good system. He said you have to stop your activities that cause karmic reactions. Something. Thank you for your question. There are also there are marriage counselors, there are marriage courses available. Although they're not widely taught, the Grihastha ministry wishes that there were more married couples to teach the marriage course. They'd have to be able to travel to many temples or do something on the internet. But there are some experienced devotees who have not only experience in marriage, but also in counseling and psychology, and they are available to advise devotees. Indian families have you have a Western family. Indian families have other expectations about their children getting married. If you talk to them, you can find out about that. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Om Glory Srila Prabhupada.